Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Today we have our annual volleyball tournament. It promised it to be a beautiful day today for that tournament. It says if you'd like to call the school today to register a team by noon, you need to do so. However, we have enough teams already, so we won't be able to have any more teams register today, as we have enough teams for the number of courts that we do have. But please, do anyone who would like to come today, of course, it's going to be a great afternoon. It will start at 2 p.m. this afternoon. And ladies, just a reminder about the dress code. Culottes or skirts, and of course, no basketball shorts, etc., such like. And of course, no low-cut or tight apparel. And please let your family, your friends, and your neighbors know that who are coming. And also, men, of course, we're on school grounds, so there are no shorts to be worn. And again, let your friends and family know. Also, the Sacrament of Confirmation will be administered this coming Saturday, October 1st. It will be at 10 a.m. And all confirmandi and their sponsors must be here, must arrive by 9 a.m. And the rehearsal for confirmation will be on Friday evening. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. for both confirmandi and sponsors. Confirmation for the confirmandi will be, the confessions for confirmandi will begin at 6 p.m., but the practice will be at 7:30 p.m. Also, the tickets are available for our annual craft fair, and the sisters do have them in the vestibule, so please do pick up your packets today for your family and sell them and bring them back. Of course, the proceeds are going to be benefiting the current school. Also, next Sunday is Vocation Sunday. Just a reminder, of October 2nd will be Vocation Sunday to offer your Holy Communion and Masses in union with other chapel members throughout the country for an increase of vocations to our seminary and our novitiate. Also, in the charity of prayers, I would please ask you to pray for the mother of Father Paul Skirky and Sister Mary Collette and Sister Mary Martha, Mrs. Teresa Skirky. She has been diagnosed with cancer and suddenly, and apparently she has not many days to live. So please, if you kneel down now, we'll pray for her. The epistle of Pontius read for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying, speak ye the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil, he that stole, let him now steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and Pharisees these parables, in saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, tell them that were invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come ye to the marriage. But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contumeliously, put them to death. But when the king heard of it, he was angry. And sent his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to the servants, the marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage. And the servants going forth into the ways gathered together all they found, both good and bad. And the marriage was filled with guests. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not wearing a wedding garment? But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak ye the truth, every man with his neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The sin of lying is unhappily universally prevalent. So prevalent that many seem almost to have forgotten that it is a sin. They seem to feel no compunction or remorse when they commit it. And they make no effort to rid themselves of the evil habit which they have contracted. But especially, there's perhaps no sin which, when committed by Catholics, gives such scandal to those who are not of the faith as does the sin of lying. Even of those who are not of the fold, have a certain sensitiveness, leading them to esteem truthfulness and abhor falsehood. And they're shocked and scandalized more when they perceive the fault of lying and cheating on the part of Catholics. No one will deny that this is a great evil, and one which we should do our utmost to remove from the midst of us. We know that the Catholic Church not only teaches the truth and truthfulness, but that she is the very pillar and the foundation of truth. We know that she condemns falsehood as a sin under whatever pretext it may be uttered. And yet, all too often, her children are addicted to this voice to an alarming degree. The real reason for it is, of course, can be found in the way in which children are brought up by their parents when this vice begins to manifest itself in their children. And it is certain to do it at a very early age, unless they are carefully watched. And in the gross neglect of parents, to take away the measures to correct and expiate the evil fault once it has laid hold of their children. It's a very destructive method which prevails among some parents concerning the lies of their children. The child is taught as it should be, to consider lying as a sin against God. However, unless the lie is in some way hurtful to the parents, many times parents do not notice it, or may even laugh at the untruth. And the consequence is that the child can never understand that God can be displeased with what was parents are amused, or which parents only regard with a certain indifference. But on the other hand, the lie causes some inconvenience to the parents. They will most likely punish the child. But how? Many punish the child in such a way as to make it clear to the child that it is punished not for the sin committed, but for the inconvenience or the embarrassment that it has caused the parents. And the effect of this type of punishment is that the child has learned nothing of the sinfulness of lying, but has learned some cunning expediency by which it may avoid such punishment in the future by not making an inconvenience for the parents. In other words, the result is the child will become an expert in lying. Again, parents, by their own folly, actually encourage their children in lying, without, of course, intending to do so, but all the same, they do. Children are very quick in perception, and in all the concerns, the indulgence of their fallen human nature and their nature's propensities. And when a child finds that the bringing home of some tale more or less false, the parents will be led to do something which the child wants. And this is the strong inducement for a child to invent such stories. The parents who lend fuel to the fire of lying, or those who, instead of strictly investigating the truth of the tales that are brought home, give credence immediately to the child and seem to think the tales are true merely because they are told by their own children. Besides this, there's also the bad examples of parents themselves. The parents have, in all probability, may have been brought up in the same manner and themselves addicted to the vice, but the children are continually witnessing untruths and little deceptions which a father or a mother are practicing even on one another or on their neighbors, all as a matter of course. The child soon learns to acquire the habit of deception, which a child sees in the parent, and the parent practices without apparent scruple. There are only some of the very few of the causes which lead to the prevalence of the sin of lying. Now, dear faithful, a lie is a sin, pure and simple. It is an offense against God. No matter what the nature may be, no matter what pretext it may be, lying is always a sin. It is never lawful to lie under any circumstances. So much so that the church teaches that if by telling one lie, and one thinks to be a little harmless lie, that one could release all the souls from purgatory and place them into paradise, the church teaches it would not be lawful to tell that lie, because a lie is intrinsically evil. It is never good. It's essentially opposed to the divine attribute, by which God is the sovereign truth, to whom, therefore, every lie is an object of his sovereign displeasure. A lie is a word or a sign which we signify what we know to be untrue with the intention to deceive. It's not necessary to open our lips to tell a lie. We may tell it simply by our gestures or by our expression on our face, signifying that we know it to be untrue. Thus, if we make a statement which is in reality false, but we believe it to be true, that is not a lie. But if we know it not to be the truth and we speak it, it becomes a lie. Lies are told with the intention to deceive. Tales of fiction, fables, figures of speech are not lies because they are intended not to deceive. They are fictions. And it is said that a lie is always sinful. It's not meant that lies are all equally sinful. For the sinfulness of a lie depends upon the malice of which it is uttered. One lies about another's reputation. It is a grievous lie because it destroys the good name of a neighbor. Venial sin of a lie does not destroy the good reputation of a neighbor. It is said for some expediency. But, my dear faithful, it is a sin. It is a sin. Sacred Scripture says in Proverbs, "He that speaketh lies shall be punished." And again from St. Paul's epistle today, "Put on the new man according to God. He's created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak ye the truth." To deviate from the truth is to deviate from God, because God himself is the truth. Strive to put down this great scandal. Bring up your children in the love of truth and truthfulness, in a horror of falsehood, so that it may be almost impossible for them to frame a lie with their lips. Strive to reverence more and more the awful majesty of the divine truth, and to show yourselves thereby true children of God and brethren of our Lord, created in justice and holiness of truth. Let everyone deal truthfully with his neighbor, and if any should fail, let him enter into the confession to proclaim the truth. Let him set right that which his lie to his fellow creature has done damage, and make restitution by truthfulness. Our Lord is the way and the truth and the life. He loves the truth. And above all, he loves those who tell the truth. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.